Head knee surgery, right? Yeah, see, someone's tattling on you. Ruth Bear had knee surgery this week. Last Tuesday, Georgia goes in tomorrow, right? Are they still on schedule for that, Karsten? For quadruple bypass. So, yeah, plus there's a valve that's weird, so they got to do some other stuff prior, so yeah. Yeah, so yeah, just keep people in prayer. And again, if you have prayer requests, get them on your little card here. Prayer requests, praises, any new information you might have, put that on there too. Get that into us, and we as a staff pray for that, and then we pass it on to the prayer team also. So prayer works. So need to be on top of that. In fact, let's pray right now. Father, thank you. What a beautiful morning. Thank you for this day that you've given to us, a day where we can worship you and serve you and give honor to you. Father, that's really what this life is all about. It really is all about you. It's not all about us. And it's hard to remember that at times. And so, Father, help us to just really focus on you this morning and be listening for your voice, listening for your Holy Spirit as he speaks to us, as he prompts our hearts, as he gets a hold of our thinking, and help us to follow your Son to the best of our ability. In fact, beyond our ability, with the Holy Spirit's ability to follow him the way we should. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is the last day of Mark. I'm going to do a review. We're going to go through the whole book. So if you missed any of it, now's your chance to get it. So if you open your Bibles to Mark 1, chapter 1. No, I'm kidding. I'm glad that some of you started opening your Bibles, though. That was good. So, following Jesus does not require great intelligence or bravery. Yeah. Praise the Lord, but a willingness to do as he commands. Chuck Swindoll kind of broke up the book of Mark into these four different things. Chapter 1 through chapter 3 was disciples called. 4 through 8 was disciples culled. Culled, C-U, right? You got that, right? Disciples cultivated. This is chapter 9 through 13, and then the end of it, disciples challenged. I'm just covering like some of the highlighted areas as I went back through and looked at the chapter or looked at the book of Mark. So just going to be looking at a few things, and the very first one, of course, needs to be the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is under disciples called. It's amazing to think that actually, before time even began, this was in the mind of God, the gospel of how salvation was going to come. Before anything was anything, God already knew his plan. The good news of salvation existed with God from the very beginning. And then this plan of salvation was woven into history in the person of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament talks about Jesus. Doesn't necessarily use that name, but it talks about him as the Messiah, as the Savior that would be coming into the world. That was chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Chapter 1, 14 through 20, then Jesus says, "Follow me." He proclaims the good news that he has come into the world as Messiah, to set people free. And then he asked people to follow him, to accept him as Savior, to accept the call to follow him, to accept God's purpose for our life. As we saw with the disciples, there was much poverty and pain, there was persecution, exhaustion, exhilaration and celebration in his closest disciples, these men who he called to be fishers of men. And we need to also accept our potential. Because our potential with the Holy Spirit is huge. There's that fly, Anna. I tried to get it with a drumstick today, but I missed it. We need to accept our potential. We have huge potential beyond, really, beyond ourselves. If we've accepted Jesus as Savior, we have the Holy Spirit within us, and we have huge potential. Just look at the disciples. Bless you. Just look at the disciples and what they did. These average, ordinary men. These blue-collar workers, if you will, most of them. And look what they did. Look what they did. And they gave their life for it. We see the authority of Jesus, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. And it amazed the people as he taught in their midst. They were amazed at the authority he had. And it just came across the way he spoke. As he spoke about Scripture, they saw the authority. And you know who else recognized his authority? The demons. The enemy. They knew who he was. They were very clear on who he was. And yet the religious leaders didn't recognize him. It's kind of ironic. The guys that really should have noticed him saw that this was Messiah. Or the Messiah. The next one is the disciples culled. You know what a cull is? A cull? Yeah. In livestock, you have culls. In agriculture, you have culls. I remember working in the fruit warehouse, and we had a bin that was the cull bin. And all the nasty, wormy, well, they weren't really wormy, but all the, you know, other stuff went in there. Some of them were actually pretty good, but they might be a weird size or something. They were culled out. They were taken out of the really good stuff. So Jesus, actually in this whole process as he's on earth, is weeding out those who will follow and those who won't. So we have in chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, the parable of the soil. You have the hard, rocky, weedy, and good soil. And they represent people. They represent people. And what happens when they hear the gospel? What happens when they hear the word of God? How they react to it? Whether it's the hard soil, or the rocky soil, or the weedy soil, or the good soil that hears it and produces. Jesus didn't come to be popular. He came seeking disciples who would join the battle for the souls of mankind. That's still what he wants today. He doesn't want to be popular, but he wants followers. He wants disciples to come along with him to go after the soul of men. The next one is the possibilities with God. Chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, the 12 that were sent out. He had the 12 disciples, and he tells them at one point to go out and to minister, to tell people about the good news. Performing miracles, drawing people to him. Then there's the feeding of the 5,000. Pretty amazing. In fact, really, it was more than 5,000 because you realize it was probably 5,000 men. So now you add into that the women, kids. There was a lot of people there. And he took just a meager amount of food and multiplied it. In fact, there was even leftovers. And the people were amazed at what he did. In Luke 18:27, Jesus speaking says, "The things that are impossible with people are possible with God." They're possible with God, and they're possible then with us who are believers in Christ. Think of all the different missionaries that have gone out through history And some of them, the struggles. I mean, you think about back when transportation, you know, you're on a ship or whatever, and they were going to these foreign countries. Remember when Bethany was here and she was talking about that area in Africa where they were, where David Livingstone had gone, and just the stuff that they went through to get there, going through the jungle and the disease and all the stuff that went on, and yet they did it for the gospel. And there's still missionaries today that are out there in places with no running water, no electricity, because they're telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. Jesus then asks his disciples a question. This is in chapter 8, starting in verse 27. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" You know, and they started giving a list. But then he asked the really important question. Who do you say that I am? And he would ask that question this morning to all of you. Who do you say that he is? If you believe that he is the Son of God, the Messiah crucified for us, resurrected from the dead, how do you respond to that? Do you follow him? Or do you just say, well, that's a nice story? How do you respond to Jesus? The next one is disciples cultivated. As he's working this whole time with his disciples to try to get them to the point of them really understanding, because he knows this is where the church is going to grow out from. What the disciples do, how they go out, how they minister, how they teach. Chapter 9, 14 through 29, tells a story of a young boy who was possessed. And the father comes to Jesus and says, "I told your disciples to cast it out and they couldn't do it." And Jesus answers and says, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." And then down in verse 23, he says, "All things are possible to him who believes." And immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Because the father knew, I do believe that you can do this, but I'm still struggling with this whole thing, with who you are and what you can do. And then in chapter 10, we see this kingdom perspective. Again, as he's directly teaching his disciples, and we see the story about the rich man who comes and asks Jesus about salvation. And he says, "Well, I've done everything from my youth up. I've kept all the law. I've done what God has said to do." And then Jesus responds to him and says, "Well, but there's one thing you still lack. You need to go and sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. And then you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me." But as he says this, this man becomes very dejected. And it says, because he had so much that he couldn't do it. And he tells his disciples, it's hard. It's hard for the wealthy to enter the kingdom. And his disciples are amazed at this because, you know, they've been brought up to think, well, those who were wealthy, they've prospered. They understand God's got their hand on them. So if they can't understand, then who will? And he says it is difficult. But then he also goes on to say, with people it's impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. God can change their heart. God can change their mind. God can convince them. And then in chapter 12, 1 through 12, we see the story of the vine growers, and this is the end of grace. So the vine grower, he puts in a vineyard, and this is a picture of God the Father. He puts in a vineyard, and then he hires these guys to take care of it. So when the harvest comes, he sends one of his slaves. Slave number one, go and gather from these guys what they've collected. Well, what do? They beat him and throw him out. So the guy says, okay, well, I'm going to send slave number two. Send slave number two. And it says they actually wound him and throw him out. Now, use your imagination here. So now he says, oh, slave number three, come here. I have something for you to do. And you know what they did to him? Killed him. That slave they killed. And that wasn't the last one, because it says there were many others that he sent that were beaten and killed. Of course, he's referring to the prophets. But, I mean, think about that. Okay, slave number four, five, six, I want you to go talk to these guys and get what's due me. And I'm sure they're thinking, great. But they did it. And it was the same with the prophets. As God called them, they were faithful to go, even though some of them were killed and beaten. Some of them ministered for years and never saw anything happen. Excuse me. And then it goes on to say in verse 9, what will the owner of the vineyard do now? It says he will come and he will destroy the vine growers. Grace only goes so far. And there will be a day when God says, you've had your chance. Enough's enough. Now you'll be held to account. The next one is, disciples are challenged. Verse 14, we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Stay the course. Hang in there. He takes three disciples with him specifically to see what's going to transpire. And he goes before his Father and he's just in absolute deep agony over what's coming. He knows what's coming. He's God. It says that he literally sweat drops of blood as he went before the Father and said, if there's any other way that salvation can come, let that happen. But if not, then I am willing. Teaching his disciples a valuable question here, or a valuable example here of what's coming, of what they can expect. Don't be tempted to avoid doing right because of the cost. If it's right, it's right. James says, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it's sin. It's pretty clear. And if you are a student of God's word, you know what's right. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, you know what's right. Then in chapter 15, we see the crucifixion. Jesus taking our place on the cross because we deserve sin. Romans 3:23 says that everyone has sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. So that a sacrifice had to be made. Romans 6:23 says, because of that sin, the wages of that sin is death. But God has a free gift for anyone who will accept it. And that's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. There is nothing that we have to do other than accept it. And Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Christ died knowing that there were still going to be people who would not accept him. And he died for them also. He was willing to die. And then in the last part of that chapter, we see the centurion who was probably responsible for the crucifixion. He was the guy in charge to make sure that they died. He's standing right there in front of Jesus. And he sees him breathe his last. And he hears all that he said and sees his interaction with the other guys on the cross. And his response is, truly, this man was the Son of God. He recognized who Jesus was at the end of his life. And then comes the resurrection. Jesus is laid in the tomb, but he doesn't stay there. He doesn't stay there. That's right. The women come back. They're going to finish the burial preparation, and the tomb's open. But you know what? Jesus told his disciples ahead of time this was going to happen. Back in Mark chapter 9, it says he was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later. He told them, this is exactly what's going to happen, and yet where were they? They were gone, other than the Apostle John, he hung around. But eventually they would all come back. In Matthew 28, as the women come and they're looking for him, and the angel says, he's not here. He's risen. Just like he said. Come on, look, look in here. He's not here. He's gone. And eventually, they rejoiced in the fact that he had risen from the dead. In fact, he appeared to them. And he talked to them and told them, remember, bless you. Remember, this is what I said. It happened exactly the way I said it would happen. And of course, then the rest of the story, as the disciples go on to literally give their lives for him. They did eventually come back to realizing this was the truth. And of course, once they received the Holy Spirit, then things even got even clearer. You know, that's the thing that sometimes I forget as I'm reading some of this and, you know, looking at the disciples and the struggles they had with believing who he was. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. You know, they knew God's word. Most of them, they were good Jewish boys, had grown up, so they had heard God's word. In fact, they probably memorized a whole ton of it. So they should have recognized how all this was going to work. And when he was crucified, it shouldn't have surprised them. They should have known because he told them this is how it's going to work. In fact, he even told them ahead of time, and here's what's going to happen to you. So don't be surprised when they treat you the same way they treated me. And all of those guys went on to tell people about him and to give their lives for it. And many, many others since that time who have given their lives to tell people about Jesus Christ, to tell them about the good news. And even today, people are dying because they're telling people about Jesus Christ. So we need to be about the business of loving God with our absolute being, everything in us, loving God. And then what's the next part? Loving people, loving our neighbors. telling them about Jesus, telling them the good news. The two greatest commandments right out of Jesus' mouth. Love God and love people. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this Gospel of Mark and just all the things there are to learn there. And he's kind of the Reader's Digest version. There's a whole lot more there also. But thank you that he covered all the main points. That he was faithful to write down what he'd seen, what he'd heard, what he'd been told. Father, help us to, when we're reading the Bible, to just really remember that's literally your words there on the page to us. And there is something there for us every day. So help us to be students of your word. Help us to dig in there and find who you are and what you want us to do for you. The kind of disciples you want us to be. To be willing to give our lives. To love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and spirit. And to love our neighbors ourselves. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Want to just go over a few things in the bulletin. The library is now open. Very, very thankful to Virginia Ramshaw, who has continued. She was kind of Phyllis's helper for many years, and she has kept plugging away and getting. Now, not everything is in there yet, but almost everything is. So, but it's open, it's usable. Just remember to, you know, fill the card out, put it in the thing, so we know where it went. Today is youth skating for the youth. Where'd Aylor go? He's gone. He left, went skating. So it's not too late. You can still do that. You'll need a permission slip from a parent and some money, but you can still do that. And they're leaving at 11:15. That's like in 15 minutes, so better get on that if you want to go. What? What? Oh, okay. Well, but if you want to eat, so. All right. I knew someone here would know something more. All right, so that's your bulletin. Lots of stuff in there that's going on. Andrea Fountain will be here the first Sunday in August. She's a missionary that we support in Slovenia. She will be here speaking on that Sunday. And I think that's it for today. God bless you all. Have a great week. Yeah.